Well, appreciate the song and the thoughts. A message that the Lord has given me is not one I would call a Mother's Day message, and I hope that you're not disappointed by that. If you are, I'd be glad to share the Lord's contact information with you. Talk to him about it. I'd like to begin in the 18th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, the fourth verse says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Well, as you will notice, if you've studied much in Proverbs, many of the Proverbs are ones in which you don't just read on either side of the scripture for context. This gives us a proverb speaking of the words of a man's mouth. You know, I've heard a lot of things come from people's mouth. I've heard a lot of utterances. I've heard a lot of curses come out. I've heard a lot of just foolish talk. And I've heard some deep and profound things that have come from man's mouth. The words of a man's mouth. You know, the waters run deep. And the thought that I'd like for us to consider from this is that there's a lot of depth inside of mankind. Now, whether or not we would say that what someone says is very deep and very profound, I'm thinking of this morning as more than the profoundness of what comes from someone's mouth. There is a depth from which those waters spring. We are more than just two-dimensional beings. And I want us to get a hold of that thought. If you look at something that's drawn in two dimensions, it's very limited. It's very flat. You know, if we're not careful, we tend to, and I guess really just by our limitation, we tend to see people somewhat two-dimensionally. That's really just about all we can see on the surface is two-dimensional appearance of somebody, and the words that we hear and the behaviors that we see manifested from somebody. Do you know what we see come to the surface comes from a deep well? What we see manifesting itself on the outside of somebody comes from deep waters within. Whenever we see children that are having behavioral issues in school, for example, and I've been in schools where I've volunteered and working with children, and it seemed like sometimes they're so unruly and it's so difficult for the teacher to try to work with them and get them to calm down and just focus and pay attention and just behave and for a moment. And it seems like it's so difficult. You know, we're really only seeing kind of two dimensions of that person. We don't see what they go home to at night. We don't understand really the emotional things that a child might be going through, the dysfunction that might be in that individual's lives. And I'm challenged when I encounter and rub shoulders with people in the world to remember I don't know what all is in the deep water in their life. I don't know where all their behaviors are coming from. And if I look at them as a flat, two-dimensional person, why are they talking that way? Why did they just cut me off like that? What comes from a man or a woman is deep water. From within, the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. I'd like to look at Luke, the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6 and 43rd verse will begin. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt fruit bring forth good, corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of what has been stored away deep inside of a man or a woman, that's what produces what's manifested on the outside. The words, the manner of speaking, and the mannerisms, and the behaviors, and even ways that our personality is expressed. And you know, those come from deep waters. And I'm not interested this morning in us just having a philosophical discussion here, or one on psychology of a person. But I want us to realize that there is a depth inside of us that we, if we just live on a superficial surface level, we'll never get down deep into the deep waters of the heart and the life and deal with those places of our lives. It's much harder to go into the deep places. It's much easier to just stay in the shallow water, to just deal with the superficial things, to just respond to the symptoms. But there's a lot of depth out of the abundance of the heart. You ever consider what goes into a person? What goes into a, what makes a person? You know, we are the product to an extent of our upbringing, of what we've experienced from the time we're children, the things that we experience through life. Do you know those things can shape us? Whether we realize it or not, our environment, our upbringings, the things that happen to us in our lives, they shape us into who we are and into the way we think about things and the way that we react and respond to people. Those come from sometimes places deep down inside of me that I don't even really understand. What makes me act the way that I act? What makes me respond to people in this certain way? That without even thinking about it, that it's just instinctive. I just respond in this way. I just act like this. Whenever there are certain things that happen, that it's like a trigger for something inside, that it draws something out of me that maybe I didn't even realize was in there. What causes those kind of things? You know, the Lord wants us to have an understanding of who He is and of what He's come to do for us. And it's about more than the study of theology. But it is through the Lord's help, the study of meology, that the Lord wants me to understand who I am and why I'm acting the way that I act, and why things are coming from my life that are coming forth and being produced. I worked with a man one time that came into work, and he was obviously not feeling well, or something was wrong with him. He seemed like he was in a daze. He wasn't very responsive. And Cody, you everything all right? And he began trying to share with me. He said, I've had a toothache and some kind of something going on in my tooth, and it's been hurting me terribly. And I'm on so many pain meds to just try to help me cope with it that they were affecting his ability to function there at work. Do you know that's not the answer? No. Do you know that didn't do anything about what the problem was? It masked the problem. It tried to deaden the problem. But the issue was there was some infection down under the surface. Down beneath what you could look at with your eyes. Down inside, underneath the surface, there was something at work that was causing this pain. How are you going to deal with it? I can try to mask it. I can try to cover it up. I can try to ignore it. Or I can say, I need to go to the root of that. And I need to get rid of the infection that's down in there. Deep waters inside the heart of mankind. You know, this world tends to treat the symptoms of problems. In schools, in institutions, by laws that are passed, trying to deal with the behaviors and the things that are coming forth out of people's lives. How are we going to control this? How are we going to control what people do with their guns and with their cars and with their fists and with their mouth? But the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart come the issues of life. And the heart is not something that can be changed by legislation. It's not something that can really be changed by time out. It's really not something that can be changed by incarcerating somebody. And I'm not saying there's not a place for those things. But you know, there's deeper water. There are deeper places in people's lives that the Lord wants to go and touch. You hear this word recidivism, the recidivism rate. And that is the rate at which someone who is incarcerated and is released, the rate at which they find their way back into the justice system. Back into jail or prison again. And you know, if we only treat symptoms in our life, there'll be a high recidivism rate of the same thing over and over and over coming forth from my life. But the Lord wants, He wants to deal with the root of the problems in our lives. He wants to go beneath the surface. You see, we can learn how to put on behaviors. We can learn how to put on smiles on our faces. We can learn in what social situations I need to act a certain way. And I might be able to do pretty well at pulling that off. But there are going to come times and places and situations and triggers where I can't control. There's something down inside that I'm not able to take care of. And it's where we need the Lord in our lives. And speaking of us as mankind, we need the Lord to go in and do something surgical inside of us. We need the Lord to go in and do something more than just deaden the pain. Deaden the senses. That's what the world tries to do with substances and entertainment and filling their lives and their minds with so much else to try to deaden the ache that comes from brokenness inside. You know, there are hurts and abuses. And I'm going to say even inside of godly homes. Now, when I say hurts and abuses and offenses, do you know there are going to be things that hurt? There can be places even in my family and my parents that maybe they were hurt as a child. And maybe they don't realize it. But the way they try to maybe close up within, or the way they respond to situations, if they've not allowed the Lord to work deeply inside of them, you know, there can be places that affect me as a child. And you know, I can carry things throughout my life that, again, I may not even really understand and realize. Why do I always respond this kind of way? Why do I always feel this when this kind of situation happens? And there can be emotional triggers and all those kind of things that trigger something inside that I may not fully understand. And you can see it in children that have been hurt and abused. You can see it in the distrusting eyes of a wife that's been neglected and abused verbally or emotionally or physically. It leaves scars. It leaves bruises. You know what a bruise is? It's something down that starts beneath the surface. Something underneath the surface that's broken. You know the Lord came to heal the bruised. He came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to make whole that which is broken in people's lives. I'd like to turn back to the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Proverbs 20. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, it takes something to know how to work with somebody and talk with somebody. How often do we, in the course of our interactions with people, never get much deeper than this? Well, good morning. How are you today? I'm pretty good. You? Pretty good. All right, well, have a good day. And we go on our way, and yes, there's friendly talk and pleasantries and things, and those are important. I don't think we go up to everyone we see on the street and say, what is it that you're feeling down inside, deep inside your heart? What is it in this moment that's making you frown like that? There's a time and a season. Lord, give us the tongue of the learned that we might know how to speak a word in season at the right time, at the right moment. You know, it takes wisdom to know how to work with a person, to be able to help, because many times people don't even understand themselves. And they'll say, well, sure I do. And I'll say, there's places in my life that I don't even understand myself. To be able to help somebody work through their crisis or what they're going through, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. To be able to learn how to go deeper than just the superficial, let's put a band-aid on it and move on. To know how to work with somebody in a way, and this as parents, it's important to be able to start doing this from the time they're children. Little Johnny or Susie said that or took that and did that. I can't believe next time they do that, you just avoid them and don't have anything to do with them. You know, there are places that we need to start teaching from the time there's children. You know what? There's some deep waters that we need to work with here. There's some things beyond just the surface that we need to learn how, you know what? There's some selfishness inside of me. And that's starting to show itself. And why do I act this way? Why do I respond this kind of way with the other children? Let's not worry about them. Let's look and dig inside of you. A man of wisdom will draw that deep water. But as I think about each one of us here today, different life stories, different upbringings and backgrounds, different experiences that each one of us have gone through, and in some way, they've left their mark on us. You know, I need someone of wisdom, someone with the spirit of wisdom, someone with discernment to be able to draw it out. The psalmist said in Psalms 130, out of the depths, I have cried unto thee, O my God. You know, yes, I think out of the depths of trial and suffering, we cry unto the Lord. You know, there's a cry that comes forth from us out of the depths of us. that are crying to the Lord, and that the Lord wants us to cry from the depths of who we are, to invite Him into the depths of who I am. Lord, would you search me? Would you try me? I'd like to turn to John, the 4th chapter. And I want to talk to you about the importance of getting an appointment with the psychologist. John, the 4th chapter. Samaritan woman that came on a day that was no doubt like any other. She's got to go and draw water from the well. Don't know what kind of thoughts were going through her mind, what kind of day she was having. But I know what kind of day she had before it was over, because she met the psychologist. And I hope you understand, he's more than just working with mental psychology, but the one who sees us through and through. The one that understands us inside out. She met that man. John 4, well, we know the exchange. The Lord shared such beautiful message with her of living water and what you can have and that Christ would offer unto her. The woman said, we'll start in verse 15. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You see how we many times just deal on the surface level? That sounds good. Sure, I'd like to have water that I can don't have to keep coming and doing this every day. But Jesus wasn't satisfied to just deal with the superficial and the shallow. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. What does that have to do with anything? You know, because when Jesus looks at you and me, he sees more than just what's going on the outside. You ever hear the analogy of the duck that's on the water and it looks like, or a goose, and it looks like it just so placid and calm, but underneath just paddling furiously? You know, the Lord knows what's going on underneath and inside of us. And when He looks at us, He's interested in doing more than judging the way that we judge. The scripture Isaiah prophesied of Jesus that He would have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge, and He would not judge after the sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. That's what we're limited to, is what I'm able to see and what I'm able to hear. But Jesus didn't have those limitations, and Jesus began drilling in right away. He knew her life story and her situation, and He went right to the heart of it. Go call your husband. Well, I don't have any husband. You've said, well, I have no husband, because you've had 5, and the man you have now is not your husband. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And the Lord worked with her some more with some blessed truths that we can learn from yet today, but I want to skip down to verse 27. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This man that I've met, he's not like any other man. He went down into the deep waters. He went down and he told me everything that I've ever done. Well, I don't know just how long their dialogue was, but there was something about the way Jesus worked with her and dealt with her and talked with her that exposed and opened up and illuminated things about her that maybe no one else knew, or certainly this stranger shouldn't have known. Come and see this man. And that's what I want to refer to us. It's a simple plan. We can come and see a man, yea, and more than a man, that sees into the deep water the season. He knows everything that's happened to me in life. You know, someone can be 70, 80 years old, and there still be things from their childhood that are affecting the way they act and respond and even serve the Lord. Do you know there's one that wants, that understands us through and through, that we can come to, and He wants to bring those places out into the open so that He can heal what's broken, so that He can restore and make whole that which is broken. But I'd like to look at the 16th chapter of John now. John 16. The 12th verse, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." There's so much more that I could open up to you, that I could reveal to you. There are so much greater depths to bring you to. But the limitation here is you're not able to receive it. You're not ready to receive it. You're not able to at this point in time. Don't you know the Lord can open up and unload on every one of us? You know the Lord in His love and compassion and mercy, the way that He deals with us, He brings us to a place that He draws out some deep water and gives us understanding of it. Now I want to be clear, when we come to Jesus with hearts stained and blackened with sin, I'm going to tell you, He doesn't leave those sins in our lives. We're not carrying that sin with us any longer. We are cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as the song says, "I bear them no more, it is well. They're nailed to the cross, I bear them no more." You know what the Lord doesn't do? He doesn't transport us to an angelic realm. Not yet. You know, He leaves us in these bodies of clay and dust. He leaves us in this physical world and in this body. He cleanses and washes away the sins that I have committed. You know, there are still places within me that I don't understand. Places of the depths of who I am, of my personality, of my nature, of my instinctive reactions to life that I don't fully understand. Jesus said to the disciples, who? The disciples, His followers, the ones of whom He said, "I have kept them in Thy name." The ones to whom He was able to say, as He was all the others, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And yet He said to His disciples that there is so much more I have to impart to you that you're not able to receive yet. You're not able to take it in yet. But thank the Lord, that wasn't the end of the story, was it? "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Oh, there's so much more for you to get a hold of about the kingdom of God and about my work on earth, my will for you, and about you yourself that you're not able to receive. You're not able to see it. What was it about Peter? That Peter, following the Lord, that he thought in himself, "I'm ready to stand for the Lord. I'll go with you all the way to death. I'll never betray you." I don't feel it. Peter didn't recognize there was something still a Peter down inside that he didn't recognize about himself, that he needed brought to the surface and dealt with. So much more that I want to get to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to enable in your life. Oh, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he's going to teach you truth. Yes, truths of the Bible, truths of the Word of God, truths of his doctrine. Truth about who I am. How often I've seen people that it appears that they've gone throughout all of their lives with things about themselves that everybody else can see and deal with and have to try to maybe tread lightly around. They might say, well, that's just who I am. Deal with it. That's tough. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to do more than that in our lives. And he said he came to forgive us of our sins. And he came to send his Holy Spirit to come and infill our hearts and our lives. To help us to get into the depths, into the deep waters. You see, the Lord is able to change and transform who we are. Not only in behavior and actions, but in very spirit. That makes us tick. That makes us who we are. He wants to go into those places as well. But you know what he wants from us? Ever since the beginning, he wants our will that's yielded to him. He wants us to serve him from our choice, from our understanding. And so it is. He works in our lives, throughout our lives. A perpetual, ongoing work. He's still working on me. You know, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Lord will bring us deeper and deeper. He'll bring something to the surface or show me something about myself that I never realized. I never understood how that thing in the past affected me. I never understood the way this hurt from my childhood or my teenage years, this disappointment, this thing that was said to me, the way I felt, I never understood how that led to this sequence of events and this way that I try to protect myself. And the Lord is the one that wants to go in and begin to reveal and expose and bring to our understanding so that I can deal with it and work with it, so that I can bring it back to that altar of consecration. Because my will is involved, see? He's not going to come and just, without me even knowing what it is, Lord, just perfect me into all the fullness of your image overnight. I'm not talking about an evolutionary growing into salvation. I'm talking about a growing in grace through the work of the Holy Spirit, through a definite second work of grace in our hearts and lives. And his perpetual, folks, I believe in a second work of grace. You know what I also believe in? I don't believe it's done that day. I don't believe the work is over that day. I believe that there is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our life, that he brings me to that place again where he brings me to an understanding about something of my nature. And he says, now if you're willing to yield your will to me, if you're willing to come and lay that part of you on the altar, I'll heal that part of your spirit as well. And I can go forth and then you know what? Down the road, the Lord's going to bring me to another giant. And you know who the giants are? Me. It's not the person I deal with. Well, if I wasn't married to that kind of person, if I didn't work with this kind of person. No, it's me. This is where the giants are. Then the Lord has to bring me to the place. I'm not equipped. Just like the disciples, you're not able to take it. You're not. And you know, there's a caution in this for us in working with other people. I can say in my mind, they ought to see that. I can sure see it in them. That's pathetic. How can you not see that about yourself? I tell you what, I'm just going to lay them out. I'm just going to tell them. You ever hear people say things like, well, it's the truth. Aren't you thankful for how the Lord works with us? In places that I don't see about myself. And yet the Lord in His long suffering and compassions will bring me about, yes, sometimes through hard places of life. Sometimes through somebody who doesn't look at life just like I do. Sometimes through those what Brother Larry would call EGR people. That the Lord brings me. Lord, what is this in me? What is this that keeps trying to come to the surface and raise its head here, Lord? And as He brings me to that place of understanding, and I come and I bring that to that altar. You know, the blood of Jesus cleanses and sanctifies us at the first altar, and it's the same blood carried over to the second altar of sanctification, where we come and that same blood of Jesus is applied to those places as well. Folks, the work shouldn't stop the day I get saved. It shouldn't stop the day I get sanctified. Folks, the Lord wants to continue working in our hearts and lives. The path of the just is a shining light that does what? It shines more and more unto the perfect day. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more that I should become just sweeter and sweeter in the Lord. And I've seen that in dear saints of God that have yielded their lives and their hearts and their everything to Him. Oh, I remember a man that I had so much confidence in, loved him dearly, and had a little situation that came up, and he felt like he spoke too sharply to me. Well, he really needed to. But he came to me after, and he sat down by me, and he put his hand on my knee, and there were tears coming down his face. And he said, "Clint, the Lord's been talking to me. There's some things about me that the Lord is working on. There's some impatience, and there's some places where I can be a little harsh sometimes. And the Lord's trying to work with that." You know how much higher even my respect for that man grew? And I can say, "Well, you've lived for the Lord how many years?" No, thank the Lord. That's beautiful. And I say, "Lord, I want that. I don't want to be an 80-year-old crotchety old grumpy man that nobody wants to be around. Because I go through life and it's always somebody else's fault. And it's always their problem. No, Lord, work with me. Lord, get into the deep waters in my life. Help me to not be content to just kind of paddle around the shallow waters. Lord, help me to be willing." I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a consecration. It's scary down in the deep waters. You know the Lord wants to go with us. John, the 5th chapter. I want to close with this question. When Jesus saw him lie, verse 6, and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know the Lord wants to make us whole. So often he would heal the diseased and the sick. And he would also speak to them and say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He's interested in more than just the outer man. He's interested in more than just the shallow things. He's interested in more than dealing with the symptoms of our lives. He wants to go right into the very place where something's broken and fix it and make it whole. Do you want to go to a mechanic when you take it to him and say, "You know, the check engine light's been on. I don't know what's going on. It's not running right." You leave it with him and come back. He calls and says, "It's ready to go." And I come back and I say, "Well, what'd you do to it?" "Well, I put a piece of tape over the check engine light. I fixed it for you." No, you didn't fix anything. I don't want to go through life dealing with things in my life that way. "Well, just turn a blind eye to it. Just put on a learned behavior to try to mask it." Lord, you know what's causing this miss. Lord, you know what's causing this knock. Folks, he's a mechanic, if you will, that doesn't have to guess. Well, let's try this and see. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. He's known us from before we were born. He knows everything that's gone into our lives, and he knows how to fix that which is broken. You pray for me. We stand and sing that song, Jesus Makes Me Whole.
It's Jesus makes Thank you. appreciate the Lord for this message. Sometimes we get to the place that we think we've arrived. Yeah. And the Lord can help us to see we haven't. And that we need so much more. And I appreciate the deep waters. Think about that scripture that says, every branch in me that bears fruit, I purge it that it may bear more. The Lord is looking for more. And you say, Lord, but He's looking for more. And we can never set on our knees or set back and just relax and coast our way into heaven. The Lord is always looking that He get more out of us. Lord, purge. I think about purging. It's not sometimes pleasant, but I appreciate what the message was in the spirit of it today. Thank the Lord.
Paul saying, neither count I myself to have apprehended, still pressing.
Yes.
He searches the heart, Scripture says. Thankful for each and every one come out today and be with us. We pray the Lord will bless and encourage every heart. The brethren has attempted to put a meal together for the sisters, the mothers. And we trust that you're all able to enjoy. So we invite each and every one to stay and share in the meal if you're able to. Any other duty now to dismiss our service. Service this afternoon at 1:30, 2 o'clock. However long it takes to get the meal cleaned up.
It might not be quite as efficient as the ladies. It's a men's day to work, so we'll be back online as soon as we can get in here.
All right, if all minds are clear, then someone might feel free to dismiss it. Whoever dismisses in prayer, please ask for blessing upon the new name.
Father, we thank you so much for the day that our nation has set aside to regard mothers and their importance in society. Father, we ask that you bless every mother that is here, that you give them more grace, that you lift them up.